Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
Okay, we'll hear from Mark Schlereth in a little bit and Brandon Stokely, and we already heard from Big Al and Mike Pritchard. Zach Bye was in here.
Cecil Mike Evans.
Mike Evans right off the top. And now time for you to react. But before we get to that, and the news of the day is Paxton Lynch has been released by the Broncos, and Kevin Hogan has been signed off waivers. The practice squad, Cecil, what is it?
Yeah, the practice squad is getting set right now. Carlos Henderson, safety Trey Marshall, tight end Brian Parker, running back David Williams, guard Austin Schlottman, defensive tackle Kyle Pecco, wide receiver River Craycraft, and cornerback Brendan Langley have been signed to the Broncos practice squad. That comes in from Mike Kliss. So that is 8, D-Mac, of the 10 spots for the Broncos to add.
Now, let's see who's not on that list. Isaiah McKenzie is not on that list.
Right.
So they're just done with Isaiah McKenzie. He was the same class as Langley, so they could have put him there. We'll see where he ends up. So they were just done with Isaiah McKenzie.
And bring Carlos Henderson back and not him to this point.
Right,
that's
right.
Very interesting.
Also, D'Angelo Henderson is not on that list, but David Williams is. So to me, that may indicate that D'Angelo Henderson had a better... We'll look it up, maybe find out if D'Angelo Henderson signed with somebody else's practice squad. Why wouldn't he? Mark Schlereth joins us. Mark, what's your reaction to Paxton Lynch being released and Kevin Hogan being signed?
Well, I think my reaction is that you did what you said you were going to do, ultimately. And I think that's the important part. I mean, I think you have to look at this organization. And if truly winning championships is the mantra that you're going by, and it's about the best 53, certainly Paxton wasn't one of the best 53. And so, and I think part of the issue that you get into was you get a kid, and this is interesting with first rounders. Like, first rounders are going to be more highly scrutinized than late round guys. Late round guys, you don't have a lot of expectations for. I went through it. Like, I understand. People don't have a lot of expectations. And if you surprise people, man, everybody in the organization roots for you. They get excited about that.
Right.
If you're a first rounder and you come in and the perception is you didn't work hard, you basically just you coasted and you rested on what you had accomplished or just athleticism, guys hate that. Guys in the locker room hate it. And I think that is the kind of energy that, I mean, that's the kind of energy, you know, where you become a drain, you suck energy, as opposed to enhancing the energy of a football team. And just because of those reasons, I just didn't think you could keep him. I was surprised when initially they kept him, but this is probably the best thing that could have happened for the Broncos as an organization to say, hey, we have moved on. And it goes to show you, you know, the kind of change in philosophical approach the Broncos have had going back to the draft.
Yeah, and isn't that the sign, Stink, is that they're doing business in a different way? And we talk about time, our most precious asset. It emphasizes to me how much time they put on this draft class. And maybe that wasn't the case with Lynch, because Brock said no, and you had maybe Kaepernick's here, and then he's not, and then you have like a month left, and here's the draft, and okay, you move up for Paxton Lynch. Is this just highlight how they're kind of washing away the mistakes of 2016 and 2017, honestly?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, Cecil. I think the other thing is you started to understand, as nice as it is to, you know, to draft off the stopwatch and draft guys who are exceptionally gifted athletes, you know, playing football is not hard for football players. Playing football is exceptionally hard for athletes. And what it comes down to is you have got to pick the best football players that happen to be athletically gifted. And if you take great athletes and try to make them into football players, that is not easy. It doesn't happen very often, and especially in today's game, because today's game is you know, the way the collective bargaining agreement is and how everything has gone down. Today's game is, there's just not a lot of time in today's game to develop a guy. So you better pick the right guys, and you better pick guys who love football. And you better take football players. And, You know, as simplistic as that sounds, those mistakes are made all over the league on a consistent basis.
When did you know Paxton Lynch didn't have it?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, D-Mac, which I've never shared before on the airwaves, but I'll share them now. I was at ESPN, and we brought Paxton Lynch came through the quote-unquote car wash. So I spent an hour on NFL Live and then a couple of pregame segments taping. And he walked out of the building, and Trey Wingo asked me, "What'd you think?" And I was like, "Ugh, that guy, like, kind of a doofus. Like, I just don't," that was my exact words. "Like, he just doesn't seem to understand what he's about to get into." And so that was my very first impression, having spent, you know, an hour with him and taping some TV stuff with him. So, and then, you know, when you don't seem to progress, when you don't seem to grasp, like, you think you're working hard, but you're not working hard, and you don't understand concepts, and you don't understand, you know, the growth potential that you have to play at this level. Early I was concerned from the time I met him, but especially watching him in his first training camp, I was concerned, and talking to some people, you know, within the organization and having them express concerns as well. That's, you know, so right from the beginning, I guess, is where, you know, my level of concern, at least my radar on concern, went off.
What's your impression of Kevin Hogan?
I like Kevin Hogan. You know, I'd have to go back and study him through college, but
not a doofus. Not a doofus, though. You're not going to hang the doofus label on him.
No, you know what's really interesting, D-Mac, is so the last, you know, in the last 16 years at ESPN, now the last 2 years at Fox, yeah, you know, they always bring draftable guys in. Like, draftable guys through there are guys that are going to get drafted fairly high. And it's really interesting to sit and talk to guys and have conversations with young players. And there's some guys that, you know, you just are like, "Well, I'm not really impressed with that guy, but whatever." And then there are some guys that blow you away. And it's interesting. The guys who have blown me away have gone on to have these great careers. Just blow me away from football knowledge and also just kind of awareness, like who they are. And I'll give you some for instances.
Okay.
Russell Wilson walked into Walls ESPN, and we had him on shows, and he walked out, and I'm like, "Man, somebody's going to draft themselves a great, not only a great character guy, but a great football player."
Mm-hmm.
Luke Kuechly said the same thing about this year. I walked into the green room at Fox, and Saquon Barkley was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Saquon Barkley had his agent and his marketing agent and all his people. And he walks in, he's sitting on a couch, and I walk in to talk to a producer. He stands up from the couch, walks over, introduces himself to me. "Hey, Mr. Schlereth, my name is Saquon Barkley." I go, "Yeah, well, I know who you are. It's good to meet you." And he goes, "It's a pleasure to meet you. You know, really appreciate you, your career on television and in the NFL. Hey, here are some of the questions that I've been getting in some of these interviews. How would you respond if you were in my shoes?" Like he walked away from that going, "Oh, that kid just, like, he wins."
Right.
Like, he gets what he's about to embark upon.
Right.
And I didn't get that, you know, I didn't get that sense with Paxton Lynch that he had any clue what he's about ready to walk into.
Mark, great stuff. We'll listen to you tomorrow morning with Mike Evans.
Sounds good, guys. Be well.
Okay, thank you. Mark Schlereth. I met Paxton Lynch. He was a doofus.
First impressions are hard to overcome, right?
Sometimes you just get a sense.
You get a feel for people.
Well, you get a sense of what type of guy you want to play certain types of positions. You know, perhaps as a special teams guy, maybe a kicker. Who cares? You know, it doesn't matter. You don't have to lead men. You have to kick the ball through the goalposts, or
right. You
have to be a long snapper.
You can be quirky or weird or offbeat or whatever.
Aaron Brewer was about as quirky and weird as you get, didn't make a bad snap, and they just let him go. I mean, you know, we've got some quirky guys on special teams. Quarterback's not one of those positions.
Nope.
Not one of those positions. All right. David, Dan, Chris, open line for you at 303-713-1043. We'll hear from Brandon Stokely after the top of the hour. This is Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. It's DMACC with Cecil Lammy. We were just doing a session on Facebook Live. We'll get to that during the next commercial break as well. So if you want to see the show behind the show and get some questions answered there, you can go to 1043thefan.com. Paxton Lynch has been released by the Broncos, and Kevin Hogan was taken off waivers. At the top of the hour, Brandon Stokely will join us. Cecil, your overall reaction to the news of the day?
Overall reaction is a positive one, because this is something the Denver Broncos needed to do, and this is what's truly best for the Broncos. When John Elway had his press conference yesterday, he said, "Who wants to go first?" And I said, "I do. I'll go first. Why'd you keep Paxton Lynch?" And he said, "Well, we felt it was the best decision. He's the third-string quarterback." Obviously, he was the guy. This was a quarterback-for-quarterback move. So when I initially heard the news about Paxton Lynch, Tom Pelissero had it. When I heard that news, I was like, okay, they're going to get someone because they want to find someone they can trust, maybe even more than Chad Kelly. Because it's clear the way they talk about Chad Kelly, he's the quarterback right now, number two right now. But even Elway, in his answer to me yesterday, emphasized he doesn't have an experience during the regular season. Guess who does? Kevin Hogan.
Yeah, and, you know, they didn't know certain things, and they didn't want to give up whatever the capital it was to get A.J. McCarron, nor did they want to do that for Teddy Bridgewater. Both right. Could have been had, but they evaluated it wasn't worth the draft picks. And then they were waiting to see who was released. My man Alfred loved RG3. Well, if you weren't going to do a trade for McCarron or Bridgewater, you certainly weren't going to do a trade for RG3 now. Would they go after RG3 if he was out on waivers? I don't know. But you didn't get that option because they decided to keep three quarterbacks in Baltimore.
And Lamar Jackson will be the number three quarterback. That just came across the wire a bit ago.
Okay, so that explains, you know, that particular situation. And you may see a situation in Baltimore where they use Lamar Jackson as a specialty player.
Slash.
You may see that. I mean, the New Orleans Saints are using a quarterback as a Tayshaun Hill.
Taysom Hill.
As a special teams player.
Right.
I mean, I applaud teams for just using their best athletes in creative ways to help their team. So there's a reason why. What that tells me in Baltimore is we think Lamar Jackson could help us. We're just not exactly sure where yet. It's still worth the draft pick. What is Paxton Lynch going to do for you? I mean, absolutely nothing, of no value. And then the question was, well, you know, should they just get rid of him? And I'm like, meh, as a third string quarterback? I mean, he's really not doing you any harm. There's no rush. But then Kevin Hogan was released. And do you know what was going on with Kevin Hogan in Washington? Do you know what their deal is?
Nah, I mean, Washington's going to be an interesting move this year, of course, with Alex Smith taking over. So with Hogan, it might have been a numbers crunch on their part. And that's what we have to assume because he played well, generally well in the preseason.
Yeah, I don't really even get where they're going in Washington, but you just saw Washington play. How'd they look to you? Who is the backup in Washington to Alex Smith?
Colt McCoy.
And who's the, do they, are they keeping three or are they not?
I don't know about their practice squad just yet as that's being formed, but right now active is Alex Smith and Colt McCoy.
Wow. And then they're probably going to put somebody on their practice squad.
Here's the nice thing about Hogan that we have yet to bring up.
They believe in Colt McCoy more than Kevin Hogan. Wow.
Kevin Hogan, if you talk about duplication, we saw in the final preseason game, if you're going to have Paxton Lynch out there, it's got to look completely different. It's got to be those eight plays, and he can run them well.
He can.
It's got to be that. With Kevin Hogan, with his toughness, moxie, and intelligence, he can run what Case Keenum runs. He can run what Chad Kelly runs. You get that duplication that you did not have with Lynch. It's one of those old things from kindergarten where it's like, which square is different than the others? And you got to pick one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess which quarterback was different from their other two? That was Paxton. They've corrected that with the addition of Kevin Hogan.
Okay, let me go to David, really quick. David, thank you for being so patient today. Go ahead. You're on the fan.
No problem. Hey, it's Dean Money from Highland Ranch, Steve. Love your show.
What's up, dude?
What's happening? I agree with you, DMACC. This is long overdue. But here's what I like about it, is that it fits into the overall theme of maturity. It's like this combination of prudence and being bold without looking desperate. And that is what I think the past 2 years have felt like, is desperation. And I don't feel like we're being desperate anymore. I feel like this was the last decision that we had to make that was like the lesser of two evils. And now we're into making decisions about the truly greater good. And so that's how I feel as a Broncos fan. feel like John Elway did his part. You know, if he turned this team around, I think we're going to call 2018 the miracle year for John Elway. DJ, on the other hand, I don't know. He's got all the recipes to make a great team, but he's got to get to work.
I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Oh, no, the Broncos have definitely done some desperate things. Pac-Man Jones is a desperate move. I mean, you are replacing a draft pick in Brendan Langley. You're replacing a draft pick in Isaiah McKenzie for a guy who's 35 years old, who's got a troubled past. There's nothing but desperation around Pac-Man Jones.
But that's a free agent. That's not a first-round pick.
A.J. Johnson, to me, 6 inside linebackers. Wow. I mean, I don't even know what to say, never mind the problems that A.J. Johnson's had. That reeks of a little nervousness and desperation. The Broncos aren't done with desperate, you know, win it all costs sort of moves. The fact of the matter is they just needed to move on from Paxton Lynch, and they brought somebody in who legitimately will compete for the backup spot. If they were really sold on Chad Kelly, they probably would have just kept Paxton Lynch. Because there's no need to bring in another third-string quarterback.
Right.
You could sign Nick Stevens to your practice squad. In fact, the Broncos still have 2 spots left on their practice squad,
yes,
correct?
Yes, we're keeping track of that right now, looking
and so
at
far,
the 8
no,
players that have been added.
No quarterbacks have been added to the Broncos practice squad as of right now, correct?
No.
So it wouldn't surprise me if the Broncos did add some. First of all, I always think you should have a quarterback on your practice squad. You know, why wouldn't you? You know, why wouldn't you have Nick Stevens or somebody like that? Those are really developmental guys.
And just coming across, this is from Mike Kliss, that the other spots have been filled in that practice squad. And here's where
I look like a genius if you say a quarterback's one of them.
No.
Oh, okay.
But Jeff Holland did make it through.
Okay.
Broncos fans, you got a stroke of luck today. Stroke of luck. You got a stroke of luck with Jeff Holland making it through to the practice squad, whereas D'Angelo Henderson did not. He signed with the Jets practice squad. Jeff Holland is a member of the Broncos practice squad.
Just to be clear, and we'll find out what the money terms are, and this is when we were blown away, obviously, when Kyle Sloter was signed for like $300,000 a year to the Vikings practice squad, which was just stunning to us. Most guys on the practice squad make maybe $96,000 to $115,000
a year.
They paid
Jonathan Williams the same amount. They chose a running back that was with them for 10 weeks,
mm-hmm.
the same amount as Kyle Sloter got with the Vikings. They chose Jonathan Williams over Kyle Sloter and then dumped him after 10 weeks.
Yeah, wild things there. You have to understand, I'm going to guess D'Angelo Henderson was offered a spot on the Broncos practice squad and turned it down. There's 2 things that happen. It's the waiver wire, which goes for, 24 hours after your cut. And then there's practice squad. Well, when you go to practice squad, you're a free agent. So that's saying Jeff Holland wants to be back here. And because it was so late in this, because all the other practice squad guys were announced, my guess is Jeff Holland had some options, and there might have been a little negotiation going on there for his salary.
Well, and I had heard that Jeff Holland was going to get scooped away if the Broncos did release him, so they offered him something significant, I'm sure of that, and then he chose to stay here, because remember,
he chose to stay here.
You may not have Shaq Barrett next year. You may not have Shane Ray next year. Having Jeff Holland waiting in the wings is a bonus, and by the way,
that is, now don't forget, if you're at practice squad, you can get signed.
You can go to somewhere else.
At any moment.
Yes.
So
you
can
also say no. Other teams can offer you, hey, come to our 53, and you can say no, I'll stay here on a PS. That's happened before as well.
Who would do that?
Some players actually do. And by the way,
players that are allergic to money.
The Broncos have 11 practice squad players. You know why? Because Carlos Henderson is suspended week 1.
Oh, that's right. So who's the other one besides Jeff Holland?
Okay.
Oh, there's 2 other guys, though.
Avery Genesee, offensive lineman. So,
okay.
There you go.
By the way, so that means Kwanjo was cut, and I don't know if he had practice squad eligibility left anyway, so.
I don't believe so.
So he's gone. So in this camp, you dump Menelik Watson, millions of dollars. You dump Paxton Lynch, millions of dollars. That's a tough one. Those are tough, tough, tough ones.
Tough decision, but the right decision for the Broncos.
All right, let's get to some more calls. 303-713-1019. 104.3. We are on Facebook Live as well. You can find that at 104.3thefan.com. Dan, you're on The Fan. What's up, Dan?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Sure.
I'm curious about why it is you think that Coach Joseph played Paxton Lynch at all in that last preseason game. Obviously, given how he played, there was no way he was going to play well enough to keep him, so why not give Chad Kelly those crucial reps?
Well, first of all, Chad Kelly was on IR, so he was ineligible to play, and so there's that. And the question is, why would you ever, when you're eliminated from a game, a season, why wouldn't you play players when the only chance they can get with live reps is during an actual game? What do you got, Cecil? I'm sorry.
By the way, Broncos placed Sua Cravens on IR. Re-sign Isaiah McKenzie to the 53-man roster.
Wow. Well, look at that. Look at that. That's quite a move. So Sua Cravens, who was... Well, a lot of things are going on with Sua Cravens in Washington, right? Was he hurt? He wasn't hurt? Was he soft? He goes on IR. So Sua Cravens is out for the year. And Isaiah McKenzie's on the 53?
Yes, not on the practice squad.
I got to think about that one for a second. So you got six wide receivers now. What?
Yeah, you have six wide receivers.
I
got to
think about this for a second.
And you have one less safety. So
by the
four
way,
safeties.
It came down to, now this is really interesting. It came down to Isaiah McKenzie, D'Angelo Henderson, or A.J. Johnson. Alexander Johnson. They chose Alexander Johnson, and now they've chosen Isaiah McKenzie. They could have signed D'Angelo Henderson.
Right.
Wow.
That's how they rank him in order, though. You just saw the language of the NFL is money in transactions.
Wow.
And went Alexander Johnson, Isaiah McKenzie, D'Angelo Henderson.
Mm. On the 53, not practice squad,
right.
53.
53, this one coming in from Mike Kliss. Isaiah McKenzie on the 53.
So that means they did keep five safeties, which to me was curious. So this is a high recommendation of DeMonte Thomas, by the way.
And by the way, because injured reserve rules are different this year, and last year they were different as well. He could actually return later on.
After about eight games or so.
There's IR designated
like that.
To return. There's PUP list, which means you have to miss 6 weeks and then can come back between week 7 and 9. This on IR means you can come back at a later date. A much later date.
I don't understand. So, wait. That tells you a little bit something about how they feel about Pac-Man Jones. They're hedging their bets just a tad. They're not... When is that $1 million guaranteed to Pac-Man Jones?
Today? I mean, if he plays in week one.
Week one, though.
Yeah.
So they got another week and a half to figure out, or another week, rather, to figure out, do they want to pay Pac-Man Jones $1 million?
Yeah, I believe if you're on a roster and you play week one, or you're on week one, your full salary is guaranteed for the year.
So we got another week to figure out if we really want to keep Adam Jones around.
They're keeping their options open at Dove Valley.
Okay, we'll take more of your calls, 303-713-1043. Interesting day. Paxton Lynch has been dumped. Kevin Hogan is on the Broncos. This is Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. It's D-Mac with Cecil Lammy. We just did a session on Facebook Live. We'll do that again. You can find that at 104.3thefan.com. We're actually broadcasting on Facebook Live right now. Richie at the Wheels of Steel. Sandy Clough in the studio.
Here we go.
Sandy, come on over. Love to hear your take on this situation as Paxton Lynch has been dumped by the Broncos. And no clue if any of those headphones. We have headphones in here, Sandy. I have no idea if any of them will work. No clue whatsoever. I think the odds are slim, to be quite honest with you, but you can give it a shot, that's for sure. Paxton Lynch has been released by the Broncos. Kevin Hogan has been signed. Sandy Clough, what is your reaction?
The headphones work.
Oh, that's okay. My first reaction. That's good.
Nice.
Good.
The chair doesn't work, but the headphones do.
Sandy, come on. The
chair doesn't work, but that's fine. I'm actually below you. I'm looking up at you. An experience I've never had before.
Thank you, Sandy.
At least literally. Yes, figuratively, yes.
Now with the acquisition of contest winner John Davis, I am no longer the shortest person here at the radio station.
Yes.
So
true.
Save those. By the way, my chair doesn't work very well either, and I believe
this one's broken too.
It's broken, so we're in good company. What's your reaction?
My reaction is that when I went out to Dove Valley yesterday afternoon, a person who knows the insides of the organization as well as anybody told me, in reference to Lynch, almost literally as Elway and Joseph were walking into the room, I have never seen a situation like this in the history of the NFL. And my response was, I think that record may still be intact. Mm. Just wait 24 to 48 hours. And from the lukewarm endorsement that Elway gave to Paxton Lynch, mm-hmm. to the pronouncement that they were one in the process of talking to quarterbacks who at that point had all turned them down, mm-hmm. but they had talked to quarterbacks.
Right.
And that two, right after the press conference, they were going right back in to look at the waiver wire again, because all the cuts would be in and they'd take another look at it, mm-hmm. which meant that maybe they'd reconnect with some of those quarterbacks now that everything was out, and perhaps they'd find some candidates with whom they had not yet spoken. And Hogan, I assume, would have been one of those guys.
Sandy, nobody is better in terms of being here as long in the history of the team itself. Where would you put the bust of Paxton Lynch in terms of first-round bust for the Denver Broncos?
Either one or two. And I'm vacillating because Ted Gregory was such a total disaster. But to take nothing away from the value of the nose tackle position, a quarterback first-round bust, to me, outweighs a nose tackle first-round bust because of its impact over a period of years. The Broncos were trying to replace some 30 years ago when they drafted Ted Gregory on the first round. They're trying to replace Greg Cragen. They've been trying to replace Greg Cragen for years. And they eventually found out that while he wasn't a great player, he wasn't a Pro Bowl, all-pro level player, he's a pretty good player. Mm-hmm. He's a serviceable nose tackle. So they just went back to Greg Cragen and everything was fine. This really set them back, I think. Mm. This drafting of Paxton Lynch in the first round set them back. So on that basis, and listen, they've had quarterback busts before. If you want to go all the way back to the early days of the AFL, they've had quarterback bust after quarterback bust. We all know they have never really drafted and developed a single quarterback in the almost 60-year history of the franchise. But to answer your question, I'd say this would be, if I had to lean, I'd say this is the biggest bust the history of Bronco drafting in the first round.
By the way, Ted Gregory is, you know, Sandy, pick number 26.
That's a bad spot. The Broncos ought to just stay away from the 26th position. They got it, trade out of it. Never trade up or down into it.
Yeah, where was Tommy Maddox? He was taken in the 20s as well.
He was.
Like 23, something, 22, something
I
lines.
Think it might have been around 26. Maybe it was 27. But you remember the rationale. I would exclude Tommy Maddox because, one, he didn't draft himself. Well, Lynch didn't draft himself either. Tommy Maddox went on to have a pretty good career as a backup quarterback.
He did.
I don't see the same for Paxton Lynch. I may be proven wrong.
Right.
But the rationale that Dan Reeves used in drafting Tommy Maddox was, well, on the first 20-odd picks, all the guys we wanted got taken. Mm. What a rationale for making a draft pick. Everybody we wanted was gone.
So we
settled for a guy that no one else would have drafted in the first round.
In the middle of the Elway era.
25, by the way.
Wow, look at that.
Well, it was a shot at Elway from Dan Reeves. Their feud was at full blast at that point. And Dan Reeves was determined, one, to show his power, because no one else in the organization wanted to pick Tommy Maddox at that point, and two, to stick it to John Elway.
Okay, so John Elway is admitting something here, and moving on, what do you think it says about John Elway?
I think it says that although he had to be pushed, perhaps, that as of about a year ago, And I only know this from talking to friends of Elway. I have not talked to John himself publicly or privately about this. But people who are very close to him said that for Elway, the jig was up regarding Paxton Lynch last year, about a year ago at this time, that he knew. And I just never thought there was any chance that on opening day he'd be on the roster. I just never did. Kubiak's influence is greater now within the organization. We know Gary Kubiak is not a Paxton Lynch fan.
Right.
There was just no support for Paxton Lynch and also no rationale for keeping him as a third quarterback. Third quarterbacks don't develop. They throw a few passes in scout team.
Right.
They don't develop. They don't play with the ones.
Right.
They're inactive. They never play.
It doesn't hurt. It served no purpose whatsoever. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't help you. I compared it to like wallpaper. It's just kind of there. You know, you paid for him. My point was, the only point to bring in a quarterback is if he's really going to compete for the backup spot. Other than that, who cares? It doesn't really matter, because if you get in a position where your starter gets hurt and your backup goes in and your third becomes your two, well, automatically you're going to be scrambling around for another quarterback besides that third guy anyway.
Exactly.
You're just not going to get there, but it's always good to have a third quarter. It's a break glass in case of emergency type of situation.
And again, I don't know how much clout Vance Joseph has. Maybe he has more than he did last year, because I don't think last year he had any. But if I'm going into a season in which my job, I'm a coach, and my job is on the line, I'm sure not sitting there passively by as they put Paxton Lynch on the 53-man roster, unless I know that it's only a temporary condition. And my question to John yesterday about Isaiah McKenzie was revealing in that John virtually guaranteed that McKenzie would be back on the practice squad, which told me they talked to McKenzie. Now, McKenzie being on the 53-man, that does surprise me.
Yes, me too.
I was surprised because it was the only question he answered explicitly yesterday was the one on McKenzie, where he basically said, oh, he'll be back in the practice squad.
Yeah, because they're probably not 100% sold on Pac-Man Jones for reasonable reasons.
Nor should they be.
Yeah.
He'll be 35 years old in September. Should they be?
They shouldn't be. I mean, for pure football reasons, never mind the other reasons, which for most employers would exclude somebody like him from being part of that company, that's for sure. And the Broncos kept A.J. Johnson as well. So the Broncos aren't all choir boys, that's for sure. There is a win now mentality with the Broncos.
Absolutely.
Okay, so
there has been, if the head coach doesn't win more than he loses this year, he's gone.
So
he may be gone during the year if things are going badly enough. So they have to have you never select, you guys know this, you never select literally the best 53 football players, but you can't justify keeping Paxton Lynch and letting the likes of, I don't know, my big surprise yesterday for me was that McDonald was let go, and I think that's an injury thing.
I think that's an injury thing because
he certainly was a better player than DeMarcus Walker for this year anyway.
All right. Hang on, Sandy. Cecil, we have yet to hear from Brandon Stokely. We'll do that next. All right. It's D-Mac. It's Sandy Clough. Cecil Lammy. Now, let me go to Chris, who's been on hold for quite a while. Chris, you're on the Fan. What's your reaction to the news of Paxton Lynch being cut, Kevin Hogan being signed? What do you think, Chris?
Well, first off, I celebrated in my fantasy draft when I got the news. I was very happy to hear. Something I felt like should have happened last year, frankly, because I just didn't think he was even remotely, you know, a first-round draft pick. So, to me, I just feel like we kind of had to put other guys on the shelf and had to let go that I thought were more worthy of a roster spot than him. So, like, I'm happy to hear that Cecil talked about Holland getting on the practice squad. I was really disappointed in him getting cut, as well as Henderson. I thought those were two players really could have helped us out in the future. But I'm happy that John finally, you know, took care of business, and it would be great to see if Hogan can be our number two, or are we you know, we're going to stick with Kelly. I mean, what do you think? Will it be Kelly or Hogan is our number two?
Well, it's good. By the way, Chris, I was over at Dove Valley, and guess who was asking me about your fantasy team?
That's a good question.
Nobody. Yeah. Nobody was asking me about that. Appreciate it. Thank you, Chris. Let's go to...
Well, you set him up.
Brandon Stokely.
You played him like that a Stradivarius.
That is an old Jim Kelly joke that I learned when I first started covering the Bills years and years and years ago. And Jim said it with much more enthusiasm than I laid into it. Brandon Stokely joins us. Brandon, what is your reaction? Excuse me. What is your reaction to the news? Brandon.
I'm here. I'm shocked. I mean, I was shocked. I just didn't think they were going to be able to admit the mistake and move on from the mistake. And especially after the weekend, after everything that was going down, it didn't seem like they were going to make a move there. I think, obviously, I think everybody thinks that it's a good move, probably best for both parties, and just time for the Broncos to move on. Time for them to move on, turn the page, and that's what they're doing in this situation. And I think it's a good move.
Well, hold on. Why are you shocked, though? Why is there something about Elway as GM that shocks you, or why shocked?
Well, I mean, they have yet to admit that Paxton Lynch was making mistakes and that he was what everybody else saw him to be. They've always made excuses for him. They've always said. And I've actually felt like they believe those excuses. You know, they said, look, he hasn't played a lot of football. He's been injured, been in different systems. We knew it was going to take time. So I've always felt like they really, truly, honestly believed that. And it was their first round pick. So they didn't want to let him go. They didn't want to admit the mistake. So that's why I was shocked and just didn't think they were going to do that this year. Maybe next year, but not this year.
I just think they were trying to maintain his trade value. There was never any trade value. Nobody else was buying what they were saying. I subscribe always to the bromide, listen not to what they say, watch what they do. And they demoted this guy. You have Steve Antonopoulos last year when he was hurt in Oakland telling him he can go back into the game, and I don't know if he was in tears by then on the sideline or not, but he wouldn't go back in. If this story is known to us, believe me, it's known to John Elway. And I thought what John Elway claimed to have told, and I'm sure he did, Jim Kelly last week about his nephew, boy, he's got moxie, he's got that Kelly determination and fire. And again, maybe I read too much into that, but I read that and I heard him say that. And it's all the things that Paxton Lynch is not.
Who's the backup? Yeah. Who's the backup, Stoke? Go ahead. Sorry.
I agree. And it makes it easier to move on from this mistake when you see what Chad Kelly has looked like. And, you know, nobody's saying he's going to be the starter right now or ready to start. But the guys look good. And so it makes it easier to move on from the mistake of Paxton Lynch. It's Chad Kelly, I think. He's got to be the backup. He's done everything in his power to earn that spot, and I think he has earned it, and I feel more comfortable about him being the backup than Kevin Hogan. I like Kevin Hogan. I know you like him coming out, D-back. I like him coming out of Stanford also, but Chad Kelly just has the it factor for me right now, and I feel very comfortable with him being the backup.
What kind of message does the cut of Paxton Lynch send to the locker room, Stoke?
Hey, look, we're not messing around. We're here to win football games, and doesn't matter your draft status. If you're not getting the job done, we're willing to move on from you. And so does the cut of Isaiah McKenzie and especially Brendan Langley.
They brought McKenzie back.
Within the past 5 minutes, Isaiah McKenzie's on the 53, and Sua Cravens is on IR.
Wow. Well, I'm late to the party here, guys. Holy cow. unbelievable. Fast and Furious. Well, I don't really understand that. Suai Cravens was on injured reserve, huh?
Yeah, and you know, in IR now, you can come back after like 8 games or 8 weeks or whatever it is. So we'll see there. But I think it's a compliment to DeMonte Thomas that they kept 5 safeties and now they put him there. I do think you're going to have an interesting week of evaluations between Isaiah McKenzie and Pac-Man Jones for that punt returner spot. They're going to really think deeply about what they want to get out of there, and they get another week of at least looking at Pac-Man Jones, and perhaps there was interest in Isaiah McKenzie around the league if he was just out there, and, you know, you had to safeguard against that. They also did the same with A.J. Johnson, who hasn't played football in 3 years, and they kept 6 inside linebackers to me, which was like, wow.
That's a lot. That's a ton of inside linebackers. Fast and furious. But I think it's a good move by the Broncos with Paxton Lynch. Obviously, it was time, just becoming more of a headache than what it was worth. So that's a good first step. I like the direction that they're heading this year. They've cleaned up some mistakes. They moved on from mistakes, and obviously, I think they've made up for some of those mistakes with this year's draft class. And they got themselves a quarterback for the next couple of years, and some playmakers around them, and. It's shaping up to be an interesting season, I will say that.
All right, we'll listen to you and Zach tomorrow from noon to 3, and I can't wait.
I got one question real quick. Did I need to come in the studio to be up for a candidate for Above and Beyond the Water?
Yes, you did.
Will that get me on the list?
Yes. Time just
go into the studio.
Time just with your family where you just peel off for a few minutes does not qualify you for an Above and Beyond Awards.
Oh, dang it. I got to go another couple months.
That's right. Try to do something nice. Thank you, Stokely. Okay. Yeah, Sandy, you were saying.
No, I was just saying, I think on the question of who the backup is, for now it's Chad Kelly because he would know the offense better than Hogan would. But if Hogan is as adaptable as we all think he was coming out of Stanford and is now, I could see later in the season Hogan technically becoming the backup. And I say that while knowing that if Case Keenum is hurt for any length of time, this season
this
is
team's
done.
In trouble. And that's why I say this isn't about Hogan actually winning games for this team. This is about Hogan pushing Chad Kelly. Because let's be honest, Paxton Lynch wasn't going to put in the work to push Chad Kelly.
Exactly.
And you
correct.
Do not want Chad Kelly to coast at all. And I don't think he would. But you definitely want that pressure applied by an intelligent, tough quarterback with lots of moxie himself. Kevin Hogan, I was not a fan of when he came out of Stanford, and we discussed that on your show, DMAC. But I know he's got toughness, I know he's smart, and I know he's got moxie, and he fits what they want to do.
Ideally, people will say, well, what is the ideal? Here's the ideal situation. Ideally, Case Keenum's awesome. And he comes out, and we're in the playoffs.
16 games.
And, you know, sure. And then you say, okay, we love Case Keenum. And then he gets signed to a 5-year deal, okay? And so now you have 2 years now, 5 years. That puts him into his late 30s, and we have a 7-year run with Case Keenum where we're always – and it's a probably a Jake Plummer-like situation where
– little bit.
You've always got a shot.
You're always in
He's not necessarily the world's biggest superstar, but you always felt with Jake Plummer you had a shot. And, you know, eventually, I think even Mike Shanahan would admit the way they handled the Jay Cutler – Jake Plummer situation was wrong. They should have probably been a little bit more patient and probably would have been better for even Cutler in the long run. But then Kevin Hogan or Chad Kelly, you can sort of fight it out for that Gary Kubiak sort of role. That's ideal. You got your guy, you're paying him the money, and then you got somebody who's like Gary Kubiak as a backup that if you need, he's going to be fine. He's going to be good in the room. He's going to be supportive. He's going to be smart. He's going to be a leader. None of those qualities apply to Paxton Lynch, and I'm not even sure all those qualities apply to Chad Kelly, but I'll bet you dollars to donuts they apply to Kevin Hogan.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not appointing Kevin Hogan the new starter or necessarily to start over Case, not even close to starting over Case Keenum.
Of course not.
But when you just talk about a quality quarterback room, you're looking for the moments that
make
everything works. That's right. They all work together.
And let's remember it is still a majority, however a slight majority of teams that only keep two. The Broncos are in the minority and keeping three.
And that's why Elway's comments yesterday on my Paxton question were obvious. They were going to keep three.
By the way, if you want to cut Chad Kelly now, go for it. I mean, if you want to. I don't want to. But if you want to, you think he's going to get named to a 53? I mean, you could probably bring him back on practice squad if you really wanted to. Again, I'm not advocating for that because I think today he's a better backup option.
But yes, right now he is. He'll be the backup next Sunday.
So, but that doesn't have to be the case the entire year if you don't want it.
No.
So the Broncos have put themselves, but they couldn't do that with Paxton Lynch.
No,
they,
of course
they
not.
They had to keep Chad Kelly with Paxton Lynch, but now they don't necessarily have to. They have many more options, and if Case Keenum doesn't work out, you spin the wheel of quarterbacks and you
back
sort
to
of,
the drawing board.
Yeah, back to the drawing board. But in the ideal world, this is what you need. All right. More reaction to the news of the day. Paxton Lynch is released by the Broncos, and Kevin Hogan claimed off waivers. This is Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.